2008 seminar. Seminar is quite an impressive seminar. It's all about stem cells and how we can utilize them to our benefit, utilize them to make our life richer and fuller and more magnificent, utilize them for healing. Stem cells showing the cells physically and mentally function and how they function. So we begin with lecture one, proving stem cells physically function beneficially. Doctors have gone into their laboratories and taken stem cells and put them to work. What is a stem cell? Every cell of our body basically is a stem cell. But the medical science, the scientific community, has found that if they have what they term as a stem cell, if they get a stem cell, they can utilize that stem cell to bring back to the original purity and integrity any organ action or function of the body when a stem cell is inserted into that function, into that heart, that liver, the spleen, any other area, even muscles, eyes. They're working on all sorts of beautiful things now. They have proven that it works, and they utilize it very seriously, and we'll go into more details as to where the stem cells come from that can be utilized in a little further along here. But right now, they work. And how do they work? How do the scientists, how do the medical doctors take one little stem cell out of a cell, out of an organism? How do they take what they call a stem cell? Well, a stem cell is defined as an undifferentiated cell. An undifferentiated cell in the body. Now, apparently, the medical scientists and the scientific community are able to put their little magnetic gadget on top of a cell, and it says, I am a stem cell, and I am an ear cell, an eye cell, a nose cell. Isn't that something? And it tells them all these things. Now, I don't know that, but they must have something like that, because that's what they say. They say that they know what cells are used for the nose, what cells are used for the eyes and the ears and the hands, what cells are used for the various functions of the body. These are called differentiated cells, cells that are given a job to do by whatever, and then they go out and do it. Now, the whatever is not our discussion, but it would be a very fascinating discussion, because the whatever is the infinite creative cause of the universe and how it works. The infinite creative cause of the universe and how it works. It's how God spoke its word and the cell therefore carried out that function. You didn't do it. We didn't do it. When we were being created as egg and sperm and so forth, we didn't say that these cells are going to do certain things. But the divine force behind it, the grand designer behind it, did. Now, science is studying that force and starting to understand how the cells are given these various jobs to do. Well, they know that if they take certain cells, certain stem cells, certain undifferentiated cells, they can give them a job to do, and they do a job quite beautifully. Before we give the illustration on that, we have a real fine illustration here. I'd like to give you a little more detail on what the cell is. You have it in your notes there. Stem cells compared to the story of atoms. Now, an atom is a finite object. It's very tiny but very definite. It is not a cell. A cell goes even tinier, you might say, than the atom, but yet it doesn't, it can't. If it did, they couldn't see it. They wouldn't be able to tell what it is. What do you think makes up a stem cell? What makes up the cell of your body? A cell of your body is maybe like a bean, like a kidney bean might look, and very tiny. And it has a life aspect to it. But it also has in it some sort of a intelligence that tells it what it's supposed to do. Now, what makes up the cell? The cell is made up of thousands and thousands of atoms. Like in your little fingertip here, you have trillions and trillions of atoms in your little tiny fingertip here. Atoms. Now, these are undifferentiated too, but they are aspects that never will be differentiated. Oh, they might be differentiated insofar as we say it takes so many atoms to make up a finger, so many atoms to make up a body, but that's not a useful bit of information for us because we are not in the atom building business. We have no idea how to build with atoms. Only spirit knows how to do that and does it very well. Now, when you go into atoms, and the reason I'm telling you this story today is that we want to recognize the cell is a very complex thing. It is many, many atoms that are making it up. But that's not all. The atom has subatomic particles, and these are called quark, Q-U-A-R-K. And what is a quark? We've defined it for you here. A quark is a noun in physics, any of a number of subatomic particles carrying a fractional electrical charge, postulated as building blocks of the hadrons. Quarks have not been directly observed, but theoretically predictions based on their existence have been confirmed experimentally. Now, isn't that fascinating? They give it a name, but they don't even know it exists. They know it exists because it passes in front of something that does exist, and when it passes in front of it, you can't see the something. But it's so tiny. It's so absolutely small. And we don't realize what sort of microscopic, tiny, tiny essences make up our being. Now, if we have these microscopic essences that make up our being, why do we have them? Why is each one of these essences an essence of life? And the answer has to be yes. Does each atom have life within it? And the answer is yes. Does anyone know how an atom is made with the proton, neutron, electron, and how they're all dashing around in a circle? Remember? That's an atom. And if you got trillions of atoms on the tip of your finger and they're all dashing around like that, there's a lot of energy there. Now, what has science done? They have taken one atom and split it and made fusion of electricity. They have made power of the atomic bomb out of it, out of one atom. Isn't that an interesting thing? And they had to make such a strong container that it can contain this atom infusion in its atomic explosive activity so that it would not destroy everything. I mean, that's really an amazing part. But that's just in that tiny little, and I'm saying these things because that's very important to know that power. That power. Now, that's the power of the atom. And that's what makes up the cells. But making up the atom are subatomic particles, and each subatomic particle, we are going to find out as they finally get to there, I know, but they'll get to it. We're going to find out that the subatomic particles have even more power than the atoms themselves. That the subatomic particles are those things which are uncontrolled, but they are within the atomic structure. And when I say uncontrolled, I mean that they can, if they wish, just take their energy and just spread across everything. And this is what I believe they do. I believe that these subatomic particles, which are the sub-aspects of the atom, are everywhere in the universe. And this is the dark matter that we talk about. It is everywhere present. It is everywhere. And dark matter is a wrong word for it because it makes it sound bad. But it's just another type of matter. Invisible matter. Now, that's a good word, right? Invisible matter instead of dark matter. So if we call it invisible matter, which has infinite capacity of power, and that the invisible matter is everywhere, you see, you don't need to eat, drink, sleep, do anything. That invisible matter within you is there, all energy, if you just use it. But we have chosen to not use it. We were designed at the get-go to use that invisible matter throughout our body. We were designed to use that invisible matter in every area of our being. That we didn't need water, we didn't need food, we didn't need any of these things, you know. Because this is the original concept of who we are. It's a beautiful concept. And it's one that science is proving every day, little and little and more about it. Because on the Arizona desert, there are several couples who are living without drinking water and without eating food. And they're living. I don't know how they're living. I wouldn't imagine too exciting. But they're living. And showing that you can live without it. Now, another next step is without breathing, you know. That would be interesting too, wouldn't it? And what might other steps be? Without needing a body, that you can exist. Well, we know that. But we have this body that we're playing with. We have this body that we're enjoying and we're utilizing, and we're living in this body. And what's this body doing with us? What this body is doing with us, it is just sort of a plaything that we have. It's a plaything of our mind. And once we get our mind in charge of our body, then our body will begin to function in the way we like to have it function. And you don't know what your ideal body is. Nobody does. You don't know what your original purity and integrity is for your body, but you can be sure it's rather special. And it does not include substance. That's interesting. And when you consider what we were just talking about, the quark and the antiquarks and the other substances that they're finding out, they call them koans, and they have names that go on down into infinity because the scientists are working on this and discovering these things. And that makes up matter, that makes up the universe. And that makes up who we are. And we are just the tip of an iceberg of all the essence and energy that exists. And what it'd be fun for us to do, and what it is my joy of thinking about, is how we can take this energy and use it and enjoy it and live a very satisfactory life using that energy. Wouldn't that be something? And we can do it. We haven't the slightest idea of all the miracles that are available to us, all the magic that's available to us, all the things that are just utterly fantastic, beyond our imagination. That's why I tell people, don't be so silly. Dream your wildest dream. Dream your wildest dream and start recognizing that your wildest dream came to you, not because it's not true, but because it is something that you're going to find out is true, something that's really going to be marvelous. It really is fantastic. Okay, now, we have the atom here, described as roughly 10 to the minus 8 centimeter in diameter. That's just diameter. It's very, very, super, 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 super tiny. It consists of a tiny, dense, positively charged nucleus made of neutrons and protons surrounded by a cloud of negatively charged electrons. Each chemical element, and I underlined and put in red the word chemical element because it is a chemical element. It is not a molecule. It is not an atomic... it is an atomic particle, but it's a chemical element. Each chemical element consists of atoms that possess a characteristic number of protons. Atoms are held together in molecules by sharing electrons. Now, if you want to reread that a couple times, you might come up with some interesting ideas. Now, how does that work? How does that function? Well, we have a story here. It was in the Discovery magazine, and it tells a story about a young man who is falling apart. He's having all sorts of difficulties. There's a picture of his face. He's having all sorts of difficulties. What happened was that the white corpuscles in his blood stopped doing their job. And the white corpuscles in your blood are necessary for you to have your immune system functioning properly. And if your immune system doesn't function properly, then you get the slightest cold or anything else like that and you die. Well, it says here that this fellow was... I had it separated here. Oh, yeah. He had to get transplants here. Though the chemotherapy and the radiation had prolonged his life, by the summer of 2003, Drew knew that treatments alone were not going to give him and not going to save him. For that, he needed a bone marrow transplant. And bone marrow contains immature stem cells that can grow into these three types of cells. The red blood cells to transport the oxygen, the white blood cells for fighting infection, and the platelets to facilitate clotting when necessary. In a treatment, healthy stem cells are harvested from the donor and infused intravenously into the recipient. The healthy new cells then find their way to the bone marrow, where, if all goes well, they engraft and provide a new immune system. For Drew's specific disease, the typical long-term survival rate for a transplant ranges from 40 to 70%. But to someone who, with the Philadelphia positive attitude that he has, that in his body, it's a name they give it, as Drew was, the survival is even lower, 10% to 50%. Success depends on how well the donors and recipients' chromosomes match. The better the match, the greater the odds of survival. According to the National Marrow Donor Program, it depends on race and... Success depends on how well the donor's recipient's chromosomes match. The better the match, the greater the odds of survival. According to the National Marrow Donors Program, depending on race, between 80 to 87% of potential recipients find at least one match. And a total of more than 280 patients are waiting to receive these transplants. And, you know, they're just not there. And so finding a match would have been a battle, but he found it. He went through lots of people and did a lot of research, and he found the match. Well, they put it in, and it should have taken care of him. But it didn't. It just left him in limbo. And then the fellow who was taking care of him thought that he died. And because the fellow thought he died, he took his credit cards and went out and made a lot of charges on his credit card. Well, this man found out that it happened, that someone had stolen his identity. And he was so angry that he wanted to go and make everything right. He wanted to have a clean credit card. I mean, he's going to die, you know. And he wants to have a clean credit card thing. He wanted this clean bill of health with the bank. he was just so concerned that his bank payment was made properly and so on. And so he pursued that and went after it. And he went after the person who did this, not knowing who it was. And when he found out it was this fellow from from the hospital that did it, he didn't make any charges against him, but he said, you know, that's not good. But in the process, he did something that was magical. He did something that the doctors can never depend upon. He was so intense on getting his identity back, proving that he is an honest man, that he got well. He got well. The stem cells took in the bone marrow and the platelets all gathered together in their proper way, and he is now fully healthy, back as you saw his picture there, a most amazing young man. But he was like dead. He was like gone 3 or 4 times until he had that attitude of cleaning up his credit card. He went downhill. He had a lovely girlfriend who believed in him, mother who believed in him. But until he had that attitude. Now, what does this say to you? It says to us, at least to me, that the most important thing really is our attitude. Whatever we believe, whatever we want to accomplish, that is what works for us. And if we will really get ourselves going on this, we can accomplish anything. We can come back from the dead, as he did. But we have to have some inspiration. Now, none of you have life-threatening diseases or illnesses or problems, although you might think you do. And you might think you have some terrible things and some difficult things. But if you want that, I say enjoy. If you don't want that, then I say let's follow the program of what we'll be giving you this week. What we're going to be doing this week is setting some strong parameters for you to be in charge of yourself, for you to be in charge of your mind and your attitudes and everything about you, and to get off the kick of worshiping a God outside of there and worshiping the presence within yourself, and begin to say, I like me, and begin to do those things. Now, I have given you the treatment for the energy massage, and I imagine that none of you have practiced it. But the treatment for the energy massage is something that works so beautifully that the people who have practiced it, when I have been on their back and say, do it, you know, they have practiced, they had miracles happen in their life. Real, honest to goodness miracles that would just really make you sit up and take notice. But I can't tell you that. I can't tell you their miracles, because if I tell you their miracles, you'll say, yeah, but theirs is different than mine. Yeah, but they had this, they had that, they had this treatment, and they had this support team from their family, and they had all these other things that were so beneficial to them, and I don't have that. Okay, so rather than tell you those illustrations, I'm going to tell you that if you will do these things that I offer you to do, that no matter what condition you have in your body, if you would like to have wholeness in your body, in your life, in your affairs, you will have it by the time we're done. But it's up to you, because you can listen to me and you can get all excited about what I'm talking about, all excited about this program and think how great it is, but if you don't do it, nothing happens. Hey, you're not unusual. The girls on campus, the monks on campus, they don't do it any better. And they complain. They go, oh, I got this, I got that. I say, good, you know. I'm dying. Wonderful. When you're going to bury it, you know. I think, Herb, you're crazy. I know you think so too, but it's true. If you have the treatment, you go to the doctor, and how many of you take the pills the doctor gives you? If the doctor gives you pills and you start feeling better, you stop taking them. Your medicine chest is probably full of pills that you don't take. If you're going to go to the doctor and have pills ordered, take them. Take them. You don't have to go to the doctor. You can do it without. But if you're going to go, and there's nothing wrong with going, except that's where your belief is, then follow through. Ah, that's where your belief is? If that's where your belief is, you take the pills. But you don't. You really don't. I'm not telling you something new. But I'm reconfirming to you that you have the keys to the kingdom. You have the ability to do anything you want in your life if you'll put it into practice. You know? Now, how many of you are going to put it into practice? So I say to you, just let's reiterate the energy massage. The energy massage is a very simple thing. Your body is pure energy. Is there any doubt about that? Your body is pure energy. You have that field of energy that we spoke about here, this field of electrons that are floating around. Remember? What do we call them? The cloud of negatively charged electrons floating around the positively charged interior. And how fast is that proton zipping back and forth inside of your neutron, or neutron inside of the proton? How fast is it zipping? It is going lickety-split, faster than you could think. And how big is the area that it's doing this in? If you had Grand Central Station, a great big train station, you know, up many stories high, empty, and then you had a speck of dust dancing back and forth between the walls in there, that would be the size of the atom, with the size of the neutron and the proton dancing around. And then the energy field around it, the electrons. What is the electronic energy field? The electronic energy field is like the platelets of your blood. It keeps the energy from shooting out into space. I believe this is what the scientists are going to find is what keeps the invisible energy, the invisible tiny particles from doing any damage rather than being helpful. Because they're everywhere. They're everywhere. Why do you see the sky? Anybody can tell me? Why is the sky blue? It's reflecting off of dust particles in the air. There are dust particles in the atmosphere, in the air, that are reflecting the sunlight, and that's what makes it blue. If there was no dust, you wouldn't see anything. There's nothing to reflect what you see. And this is how you see things. Now, I mean, that itself is a magical concept, but that's what it is. Now, what about your body? When you take your hand and just gently move it over your skin, not touching it, if you touch it's okay, but just sort of touching the hairs of your body if you have any, and just gently going over and saying, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. A nurse goes in the hospital and puts her hand on the patient's head and says, there, there, everything's going to be okay. And you let go of the tension, and the energy of the nurse's hand is sinking in and doing it. One of the nurses who developed this project came down to the Menninger Foundation where I was working with a group of people. We were 77 scientists from around the world every year gathering down there and discussing these things. Well, she showed us how she found that the energy of her hand, just lightly going over the patient, not necessarily really touching, had such a wonderful, positive, healing aspect for the patient that miracles happened. And she teaches it to all of her nurses, and she's teaching it all over the world now. She's gotten quite famous for it. But She's teaching this energy massage that the nurses are using. Why can't you? Why can't I? Why can't we use that energy massage to bring about blessings for ourselves? We can. But the thing is, what did she say while she's doing this? There. Everything is okay. Peace. 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 Balance. Peace. Everything is okay. And you see, all the energy was then balancing itself in perfect divine order. And the patients were getting out of bed and leaving. You see, when you tell these stories, they sound ludicrous. They sound terrible. They sound unbelievable. Because it just doesn't work that way. But it does work that way. It works just that way. And it's wonderful. This is how it functions. She demonstrated it to us in our own group. And there were many medical doctors there at the time she was doing this, and she did it on them. And they were amazed because they didn't realize their bedside manner was as important as the pills that they give to the patient. And now I tell you, if every night before you go to sleep, you take a few minutes and go over your entire body and say, I like me, 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 I like me. Your body will begin to like itself. When you have a child, and that child's been a naughty child, and the kid's gone to bed, and you go into his room after he's asleep, and you say, you're wonderful. You're always such a balanced, wonderful child. And you just put your hand on their forehead, or on their hand, or on their shoulder, or whatever. And as you touch them, they feel a little shiver, because your energy has touched them. Your energy has awakened them, but not enough to wake them up. They're still sleeping. And then you just tell them, I love you, I love you, I like you, I like you. You know, the child is going to wake up in the morning, and he's going to come in and say, I slept so good last night. And the mother will say, that's nice. And he'll say, you know, Mom, I give you a hard time, don't I? And Mom would say, not really, son, I love you. Well, Mom, I'm going to try harder. You know, and for him, that's a big step. He doesn't know why. You're not manipulating him. You are merely letting that child know that you love him and that you expect him to be a wonderful child, whatever he conceives of as wonderful. You expect him to be a wonderful child, whatever that is, and he doesn't know what that is, and you don't know what that is, but it's good. He and we expect it. Now, you hear the word expect? I like me, I like me, you say to your own body. You don't know that you might have some problems in here. And when you start saying to your body, I like me, all of the energy of your body, all of the cells of your body begin to vibrate with that. And all of the stem cells, which are born throughout your body in every area of your body, know that you like it, and they begin to respond with the idea of wholeness and perfection. It's not a matter of playing with yourself, making yourself feel good. It's a matter of letting the energy of your body go around, you know. A lot of times you just sit here and massage your eyes and no. You massage your eyes and say, yes, yes, I like me, I like me. You see, the moment you start saying, I like me, it takes you away from the nonsense. Oh, my headache, oh, you know. The moment you do that, it takes you away from it. These are things that work so powerfully and so beautifully. But it's up to you. It's up to you to put them in motion and see if you like it. Now, this man who had this situation, he's not alone. He's not alone. Of all the patients that go into the hospital, the patients who go in the hospital get sicker and die. Most people say they'd rather die at home. Now, Herb, why are you saying something silly like that? Well, what happens in the hospital? Mother and father don't have to worry about you. Family doesn't have to worry about you. The nurses take care of you, so to speak, when they get around to it. and they're very busy. But you see, when you're at home, then your family is there. And your family can come in and say, I love you, Mom. You're wonderful. You're wonderful. And Mom says, you know, she tries to smile, but she's hurting. She tries to smile, but she's hurting. She tries to smile. And then as she tries to smile, pretty soon she smiles. Because her family cares and brings this energy out of her. When you say to your body, I like me, you don't have to say, I like you, because this is me, this is you. I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. Your whole body jumps for joy. Your whole body starts utilizing the stem cells in their most positive, beautiful way. And great things happen. Now, I'm telling you, you can't reach your entire body with your hands, but do your best. And go over yourself every night. It takes 3 or 4 minutes. And go over every part of your body, gently saying, I like me, I like me, I like me. And you will find that you are setting in motion the stem cells that are brand new in your body to do the job that you want them to do. Because it's bad enough that you say, I don't like me. And when you say, I don't like me, and when you say, I'm sick, then the stem cells that are being born in your body every moment are beginning to think that you don't like them and that you are sick. Interesting, isn't it? Now, why don't we do that? If you were a father or a mother and your child were sick, would you say, I don't want to touch them. I don't want to be anywhere near my child when they're sick. I don't like to be around sick people, you know. What happens? Silly things, right? That child needs to be known that it's loved and that it's whole and perfect in the eyes of the parent or the one who's taking care of them. Your body needs to know this. Not that your body needs to know it, because your body will always be its original purity and integrity waiting for you to draw it forth. But the stem cells that are bringing it forth, the stem cells that are converting your body into your original purity and integrity, they need to know what job you want them to do. We spoke about the gasoline. We can put any kind of gas you want in the car and it'll run. But the kind that it's designed for is what it should be used. And when you use something that's not proper for what it's being used, it doesn't help it. So with you saying to yourself that you're whole and perfect, saying to yourself that I like me, saying to yourself, putting this energy, see, because your hands give off energy and your body gives off energy. And so as you make this circuit of your entire body, you are exchanging that energy and telling the stem cells that you like them. I can't speak it too strongly because it is so terribly important. It's very important to say how much you like yourself and how wonderful you feel you are. Are you ready for that? Good. Because when you start doing that, then things will start happening for you. Okay, now, we were talking about these stem cells here. How do they work? We've said that doctors can take a stem cell because they're given to them, and insert them into a liver or a pancreas or into a heart, or take them intravenously and have them go throughout the body, or take them orally or any other way that you might take them, and they immediately bring about changes. Now, if this is so easy, why don't they do it? If this is so easy, why don't they do it? No? If it's so easy for a mother to say to her child, hey, I believe in you, or you little rattlesnake, sit in the corner and shut up. You didn't obey. You're terrible. You're not doing the right thing, you see. And when that happens, what happens? When that happens, then everything falls out of order. And that's why it's so important. It's so important for all of you to realize that it's so easy, but it has to be done. It's so easy, but it has to be done. It's so easy to give yourself the energy massage and have great results, but it has to be done. It seems too easy. Do you know what one of the most healing essences is in the universe? As a substance? Who can tell me? What? Well, that's another essence. That's an emotional essence. I'm talking about a substance like food or water or something. What is the most healing essence of the universe? Water. Water. Water is the most healing essence of the universe because water rinses, cleanses, rejuvenates. How much of our body is made of water? 98% or better, you know? Amazing, isn't it? And yet we don't give our body much replenishment, do we? How many glasses of water do you drink a day? It's so easy to do this. And when you do it, your body is very fluid. It's very fluid. It's very operative. It works in a perfect way. But we don't do that for ourselves. We don't do that. Now, okay. Now, let's stay with the water for a minute. What is good to drink in the water? Must the water be pure? In your thought. It's good to have the water so that it's drinkable, you know, with, you get the pollutants out of it and things like that. But the purity of the water takes place in your brain. Now, Herb, that's not true. You're telling us something false. How many of you have ever had a pet, a dog? And how many of you have ever seen dogs drinking from dirty water and being very healthy? Dogs drink from dirty water and it's very healthy because they don't say that that's bad water. A dog smells water that's poison or that's got bad things in it, but if the water is just muddy or riled or something like that, that doesn't disturb them because they can drink that, and they do. I have 3 pans of water sitting outside my house for my golden retriever, and the dust gets into it and the dirt gets into it, and I keep changing one of them all the time. Well, he drinks out of the ones that I don't change because he likes those that have been conditioned a little bit by nature, not the pure stuff that comes right out of the ground. He likes the stuff that's conditioned by nature. Now, interesting, isn't it? I told you the story about me going into a burning forest and taking pictures in Wyalusing State Park in Wisconsin and Iowa. And as I went in there, I just had my suit on and my camera and what have you. I didn't have any mask or anything. I went in there and took pictures and then came out. And when I came out, the fireman said, "What are you doing in there? You can't breathe." They had their big breathing apparatuses and their gas masks and so forth to protect them as they were in the fire. I didn't even think about it. I didn't even think about it because I was just going to get pictures that I wanted to get. Very graphic pictures because I was sending them off to all the newspapers. And I hadn't even thought that I was not breathing pure air. You know, what do they tell you if you're going into a fire? Wet a handkerchief and put it over your face and you breathe through that and you'll breathe all right. Interesting, isn't it? Well, what about a mental handkerchief? A mental thought that, this is so exciting, so exciting. You cannot be asphyxiated. Now, other people will disagree with me and they'll say, you are asphyxiated because you're asphyxiated, and that it means you're breathless because there's no air. But that's not true. That's not true. It is because of your thinking, of your mind. Now, I don't know how many of you are human beings, but I think most of you are. And how many of you ever have had dreams of swimming underwater? And you're swimming underwater and you have no breathing apparatus. And you're breathing in and out, swimming underwater, and you're doing perfectly fine. And you don't even think that you're swimming underwater and breathing underwater without a breathing app. You don't even think about that. You just do it. And then all of a sudden, you realize, I'm breathing water. I've got to go to the surface. Here you've been down there for an hour or more, you know, mentally in your dream, and in your dream, breathing water, and as though you had gills and doing it perfectly. But the minute it came to your attention that you're doing something that you shouldn't be able to do, it frightens you. And it scares the bejabbers out of you so that you cannot continue with your game. Now, that was a game within a game, wasn't it? You were sleeping and you were dreaming. And you were dreaming you were doing something while you were sleeping. And you can do anything while you're sleeping. But why do we limit ourselves by saying we can't do that? But this is what we do. So, all of us have had that experience of being on. Now, how many of you have had the experience of flying without an airplane? Of just flying through, and you think, I'm going to wave my hands? Yeah, Mike, you did. But what happens? Yeah, you just fly. You don't need to wave your hands. You're flying, like you're diving in the water, you know, just flying along. And then you look this way, and you go that way, you look this way, and you go that way, yeah? And as you do these things, you just feel wonderful. Now, that is true. You can do that. You will do that when you stop doubting yourself. And you see, the moment you start doubting yourself, you fall. Like the woman who was walking on fire, the moment she stopped realizing she was walking on cold, wet moss, she was walking on fire. And she burned herself. And she's not alone. That's just what I know about. But the thing is, this is what we do. Our consciousness is so powerful. Our consciousness is so powerful to do anything we want to do. And we do it. We do it. Now, some of you tell me that you'd like to go and visit the campus, and you'd like to come over and visit the university, the campus grounds and so forth, which are very simple and very lovely. And I say, well, come on. And so you say, well, all right, I will. But what are you doing? What you're doing is you're getting your tickets. You're mentally figuring out how much it costs. You're getting your visa. You're getting all these things in order. If you're going to make the trip, don't think of those things. Think of the trip. And everything will fall into place. But if you're thinking about the mechanism of it, you're thinking about the details, it keeps you from having the journey. It keeps you from having the experience. Now, this is the same with mental healing. This is the same with the physical healing. There are people that have hurts on their arms and so forth that never heal. Why don't they heal? There's no reason for it not to heal. No reason. And do you realize that your body produces every chemical substance that it needs, that it has within it and needs it within its operation? Your body produces it itself. When you were a child, your body was manufacturing all that stuff beautifully. But then as you got vitamins and got other things, your body didn't have to continue manufacturing it. And so that went into atrophy, no longer being useful, and it just disappeared. We do that to ourselves. Now, I want you to be strong and powerful and take the idea in your consciousness that your thought is a power. You can accomplish anything you want to do. And you can do anything you want to do. Now, what do you want to do? Your stem cells can accomplish anything that you want them to do. But again, back to the child. You tell the child how naughty he is, and he'll be naughty. You tell the child how wonderful he is, and he'll be wonderful. It just means you have to be mature. You have to be the adult. Somebody's got to be the adult. So with your stem cells now, you're the adult. So you're telling these stem cells what to do. You're telling these stem cells how you're going to plant them. Now, how many of you have ever had a garden in which you had corn and radishes and other things, and you planted them in the garden in a row, and up came the corn and the radishes and the celery and the things that you planted? Now, did you expect that to come up? Yeah. We had a garden at Meal Meditations behind our house, and it was just fine. Nobody saw it. It was in the back of the house, and it just grew like crazy. Lovely things, everything. The vegetable salad was always ready at our house. And then one of our friends came over, one of our students, and they looked at the soil and said, "Oh, Herb, nothing will grow on that soil." It already was. Nothing will grow on that soil. Well, it stopped growing. Now, there was a portion she didn't look at behind the tree. She didn't see that part of the lettuce patch that was there, and that grows just fine. But all the rest of it, mentally, got killed off. Now, why did we let it happen? Why did I create in my world somebody coming in and saying it won't grow there? Good question, isn't it? But that's the way it worked. We had a young lady working for us, and she is a certified Swiss farmer. And she planted a garden at the monastery, and it was maybe 2 or 3 acres. Beautiful stuff. And the stuff grew wonderfully. And it's harvest time. And then she went out to harvest, and it was all gone. The rodents had come in there and pulled it down and eaten all the carrots and eaten all the lettuce and eaten up everything. And now, this consciousness, a lady not more than a mile or two away from our house, living with the same soil and the same, and without any fences to keep the rodents away, has never been bothered with the rodents, and she's had the garden for years. Now, that's consciousness. Our consciousness is so powerful, and it's up to us to take charge of it. And if you are doubting, if you're ever doubting, you're not taking charge of it. Now, we're getting over some of our technical stuff here, and as soon as we do, we'll get into the fun stuff too. But the technical stuff is good to know, because that tells you that you're in charge. You're in charge. You put these causes in motion for yourself to accomplish whatever you want. Now, what sort of thing do you want? What sort of experience do you want out of your life? I'll make this little aside before we close. Think about this. You say you would like to be a spiritual master. That sounds good. You'd like to be a spiritual master. You'd like to really be a master of your of everything in your life. Would you really? Would you really? You think that if you had the greatest teacher in the world, that you could be a master? Do you think that these Indian gurus, or people who are pretty good, are masters? They're not. They're not masters. You know why they're not masters? They're not masters for one thing only. Yeah? They don't practice it any more than anybody else. You know what they do? You might say, "Well, Herb, that's what you're doing too." What they do is they teach it. They teach it, but they don't live it. Their teachers taught them how to do it and told them to go out and do it. But what is the thing they knew the best? How their teacher had taught them. And so then they became a teacher and they teach it. And they lose the benefit. You're losing the benefit too. You're losing the benefit by thinking that you should perhaps teach it, let other people know that. But what you're doing is you're not benefiting yourself. Are you ready to benefit yourself? Are you ready to have all of these gifts yours right now?
Yes.
Then it's practice. Then practice it. And, Peter, what do you do? What did we say?
I practice it.
You play the game.
I play
the game. Yeah, and you believe. You play the game and you believe. And when you play the game, what do you really believe? How long does a cold take? Anybody got the answer quick? How long does a cold take before it goes away?
Instant.
Huh?
Instant.
No, no.
It's not there in the first place. But instant, yeah. It's not there in the first place. Now, the tendency would be to say 5 or 7 days, you know, because that's what we've been told. Now, who said 5 or 7 days? Maybe it was an instant first, and then maybe somebody drug it on for another instant. Pretty soon they drug it on for a day, and pretty soon they drug it on for 7 days, and after that they got tired of it. But it's instantly. These things should not be in our consciousness to happen at all. And when we're in charge, it doesn't. Okay, we'll come back with lecture 2, and we'll talk about other ways of using the undifferentiated stem cells for our benefit. I love you. I love you. I love you. Did you have a question, Peter?
I have a piece of land.
You have a what?
I have a piece of land that I'm using for farming, and I have farmed there for several years. Yielded. But after some time, the land cannot yield anything. It's not my consciousness, because I have been farming there all the time. I planted something later, then all it is died.
Yes?
What is responsible?
And why?
And how to revive it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, what was wrong before? What was wrong before when it died?
Huh?
What was wrong when it died?
What went wrong when it died?
What went wrong that caused them to die before?
I don't know.
Huh?
I planted everything. They germinated, they couldn't grow. Then later, all of them died.
It was your mental attitude, right? You were thinking about it.
No, I wasn't thinking about it because I was...
It was your lack of thinking about it.
Lack of thinking about it.
In other words, it died because you didn't love it. And when you started loving it, it lived. Is that correct? Now, Peter, this is your story.
I want to plant now when I go home so that I can grow my next day.
Okay.